The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
We're going to discuss cancer now. We're going to talk to Mary Canavan, who is going to tell us about her own cancer experience. Mary, thank you very much for joining us on the programme. You're a very young woman to have been through cancer.
I am, yeah, I am. It's actually become more, I've noticed more recently that it is more of a younger disease. I mean, I think sometimes we think that cancer can't affect us because we're of a certain age group.
Because you're in your early 30s.
I'm 33 now, and I was diagnosed when I was 32. And after my diagnosis, I've kind of since come in contact with a lot of women who from late 20s into 30 have, you know, developed breast cancer. And it's just something that I think we've never really think it, we don't expect it to affect younger people or younger women, and it does, you know, so we have to be just as kind of cautious with ourselves as well.
But of course, you were hit with the double whammy that you were diagnosed while you were pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah. So I found a lump in my breast when I was 7 weeks pregnant.
Did you know you were pregnant at that stage?
I did, yeah. I knew I was pregnant, and I think that made me kind of think that this lump was nothing to worry about because...
Just part of your body changing as part of the pregnancy.
Yeah. And I consulted Dr. Google, as everybody does, and it said, you know, this is very normal and not to worry. And, you know, and I kind of thought, should I go to my GP? But then, you know, I thought, I'll just go because it'll be on my mind. I'll be stressed about it. And my GP was really great. You know, she really didn't think it was anything to worry about. But she said, look, you know, let's not worry about it and take chances. Why don't you just go get it looked at?
The importance of getting checked if you decide to go to the doctor and the doctor decide to do something about it.
I really am so grateful to my GP because I can understand that with no history and a young woman and who's also pregnant, there wasn't really a red flag there. And when I got it checked out and they did the biopsy, initially they did an ultrasound and they said it actually looks quite normal. It doesn't really look like it would be cancer, but we'll wait for the biopsy results. So 2 weeks later, they rang me and said...
So were you worried at this stage? Were you really thinking of it?
No. And I feel a bit silly now because I kind of had spoken to a few people about it and said, oh, I found this lump and I got a biopsy done, but it's fine. And I think if I was worried, I would never have shared that because I, you know, would have been too anxious. But I really felt quite... I was very sure that it was just one of these things to do with pregnancy. And even then, when I got a call to say, you know, can you come back in? The surgeon would like to see you. And, you know, anyone would think that's a red flag. But I thought, yeah, I guess it's because I'm pregnant. They might want to remove it just to be on the safe side. So I went back in and I was absolutely oblivious. Like I didn't bring anybody with me. I walked into the surgeon's office and I remember saying, God, it's such a lovely day outside, isn't it? And I think he looked at me and he knew that I did not know what was coming. No, because he said to me, do you have somebody with you today? And when he said that, I knew what was coming, but there just wasn't enough time for me to even, there probably was, but in my mind, there wasn't enough time for me to even take a breath because I knew what he was about to say. And he said, you know, I'm sorry to tell you, it's not good news. It is cancer, which, you know, was just absolutely, even now, I still can't even believe I'm sitting here saying it. Sometimes, it was just absolutely devastating. And I think my mind immediately was like, oh, you know, there's probably been a mistake. You know, could you check it again? Or, you know, I'm only 32. And, you know, he was really, really great and he was really clear, but I wasn't really kind of filtering what he was saying. I couldn't really understand what he was talking about. I was just too shocked, really. And I definitely remember he kept saying, you will need chemo, Mary. You're going to need chemotherapy. And then... Again, it must have been something that I just wasn't registering with. He kept emphasizing, you know, your baby will be fine if we deliver the chemo after your 12 weeks. So I was 9 weeks pregnant at this stage. And it was just, you know.
How remarkable is that to think that you can actually have chemotherapy because it causes so much damage to the body? I mean, in its effort to cure, to beat the cancer, it does have incredible side effects. That you can do that and yet not be threatening the growing life of your baby.
Yeah, I honestly didn't really believe it. You know, I kind of thought that can't, logically, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, it's still, I can't really understand it. It was more that, you know, so many incredible women had gone before me who there was no information out there and they just, you know, went ahead with their pregnancies and had chemo. And when they looked back and they all delivered their babies, there didn't seem to be, you know, any complications. So they kind of thought that the placenta, for some reason, was able to protect the baby as the baby's development, whether it's the drugs are too big or I don't know, that they just can't pass through. But for whatever reason, you know, your baby is protected. But I suppose the danger is that I was obviously going to be very sick. So that was a, you know, a danger to the baby as well, because if I'm very, very sick, then I can't give my baby enough nutrients and everything else it needs, you know. So although the chemotherapy was, you know, was safe, I suppose I should say, it obviously had complications, but the chemotherapy was relatively safe for my pregnancy, but I had to be as well as I could be throughout it to obviously continue. So it was just, yeah, it was just incredible to even think that both of these things were even happening at the same time. That they're not compatible, like, you know, so.
I can imagine for anybody who has had a diagnosis of cancer, it must be exceptionally scary and you're wondering, are you going to actually survive the treatment and what your future is going to be? But when you're also thinking about a growing baby in your womb, that must really complicate matters and your emotions dramatically.
Yeah, I mean, this was my first pregnancy, so I was always kind of, as much as I was so excited, I was always probably very nervous about the pregnancy. I was quite scared about what was going to happen and, you know, the responsibility and minding a baby. And then the idea that I was going to be so sick and that even after I had my baby, I would still have more chemo to do. I just couldn't fathom how I was going to be able to look after him and night feeds and waking up every 2 hours and all the normal things that a new baby brings. And I suppose I didn't really look too far into the future. I just said, right, well, I have, you know, I had 6 months of chemo and it was day one. This is the first round and let's go through this week. And then the next round, let's, you know, myself and my husband just, we took it in stages because we looked too far into the future. It just seemed impossible. Like it seemed like it wasn't going to be achievable.
Did this suck a lot of the joy out of the pregnancy that a lot of women really enjoy being pregnant, looking forward to the baby being born?
Yeah. And I think only now we realised how much we were robbed of all of the good stuff. Like there was obviously moments where we were so excited, but there was just constant fear. And yeah, it just, there wasn't there were moments of joy, but it was just waiting. It was a countdown, you know.
How tough was the treatment? Given that for a lot of women, it can be very physically draining and difficult to go through the pregnancy. And it's an emotional time. So when you added in the treatment, what did the treatment do to you? Did it do the things like losing your hair and things that chemotherapy can often do?
Yeah. You know, I have to be honest and say that I do feel like I was lucky with my treatment. I obviously lost my hair, but I didn't feel as sick as I thought I was going to feel. You know, I felt there was days where I was really tired and headaches and I kind of felt just flu-like. But then I also had days where I'd go in and meet my friends and I'd go for a walk. And, you know, my doctors were very much like, you know, after you've, you know, once you've come out of your cycle and you start to feel a little bit better, like you should get out and do stuff, you know. So I was lucky with my side effects, but I suppose as the pregnancy progressed, also the chemo was also progressing. So I was getting more and more tired from the chemo and more tired from the pregnancy. So we stopped my chemo when I was about 34 weeks pregnant. It was just getting too hard then. And it was more to try and give me a little bit of time to feel a bit normal towards the end, that I was just kind of, I used to joke and say I was going on maternity leave because now I was kind of just normal, just put my feet up. And then my son was born at 38 weeks and he was...
That was last August, was it?
Last August,
Killian,
yeah.
How is Killian?
He's amazing, yeah. He just shocks me. He's just absolutely incredible. Just keeps smiling and laughing and not a bother. Like, he's started in creche now, so he has a few runny noses and things like that, but all the normal stuff. Like,
absolutely.
So it's just...
But then you had to go back and get more treatment after he was born. How long after he was born?
It was about 6 weeks after he was born.
That must have been tough.
That was probably a lot tougher than I thought it was going to be. I thought that the biggest thing was just to get get him, like, you know, bring him into the world. And once he was here, we were going to be okay. But actually going back was just incredibly hard to leave him. But also, yeah, I suppose a lot of my motivation was gone, you know, because I was trying to get to the end of the pregnancy. And once he was there, I kind of felt almost a little bit alone in some ways going in, which sounds a bit strange, I know, but, you know, he kind of gave me strength throughout the pregnancy because I'd constantly feel him kind of kick and stuff. But yeah, going back after when he was 6 weeks was just, I just wanted to be done then. I just wanted to be a new, like a normal new mom. And
how much longer did the treatment go on for?
Another 8 weeks.
And so it worked?
Yeah, yeah.
That's one of the reasons, I suppose, we have you here, because yeah. I suppose with the improvements in cancer treatment, the chances of survival have gone up dramatically. The ability to do things like give treatment to a pregnant woman, which probably wouldn't have been tried in previous generations.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's absolutely incredible. And like, we need kind of funds for research, certainly, just to improve kind of the treatments that we have, improve some of the medications that go on with your treatment so that you can feel a bit better while you're on chemo. And it's just, I just feel so lucky that we were able to kind of go through this journey and it has such a positive outcome.
How are you now?
Great, yeah, yeah. Back to work. Yeah, just meeting the same people on the bus and just going back to the normal 9 to 5.
Will you be able to dance on the 30th of April?
I will definitely be able to dance on the 30th of April, and I'll make sure everybody else in my office is dancing as well.
And would you like to dance to Justin Timberlake?
That's the only song I want to dance to. My God, there has to be that song.
Well, that's what I'm going to put it out to listeners again. 50300, dance followed by the number 5. It means a donation of €4. And at least 360 of that will go to the Irish Cancer Society, to our Dare to Care campaign. Terms and conditions apply. But we would be delighted if you would pick the last word song to be the one that the whole station dances to on April the 30th. And then hopefully in years to come, we'll have many more positive stories like Mary Canavan's of being able to overcome cancer, because the money has been put into the research and the delivery of treatments that mean people can beat cancer. Mary Canavan, thank you very much for being with us here on The Last Word on Today FM.
Help us raise much needed funds for cancer research this April by texting the word DARE to 50300 to donate €4. Text cost €4. Irish Cancer Society will receive a minimum of €3.60. Service provider like charity. This April, we dare to care. Do you? Today FM.